There's somebody, God wants to heal your finances. But you are so fearful of money. You're so fearful of not having money. The Lord said, if you can allow me to increase, Father, we thank you, we give you praise. Lord, I bless your name and I worship you. I give you all the glory. Lord, that which you have started with us this morning, Lord, continue in the meeting. In Jesus' name, you may please be seated. You may please be seated. Still in that atmosphere. There's so much healing that God wants to perfect, that God wants to dish out. God wants to sit with you this morning and deal with the issues that you've been struggling with. So, if you know my tradition, it's a very sensitive time, so try not to be distracted, okay? If you're watching online, you're welcome to the service. Grab a seat, get your pen, get your paper, and be ready. Open your heart and let God do something that he had promised to do. Very quickly, we started looking at Exodus chapter number 17. If you can turn there. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity again. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. May your word bring healing and may your word bring deliverance. The word God gave us for this season, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. And we started on Thursday, for those that weren't here, I enjoy you, I'll encourage you to go and listen online on Facebook. We have the messages, we have the message there. So this is a continuation. We were able to establish that what you see, your ability to see, your capacity to see to a great length determines whether you'll be healed or not. So it's imperative that you see, because Jesus speaking, saying, in seeing, they don't see, that they may be healed. So healing is tied to your capacity and your ability to see. But in the same vein, he said, in hearing, they don't hear. So today, we want to look at some things and see how far God would lead us. We stopped in Exodus 17 and verse 8. Scripture says, Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel. We were able to establish that when we don't acknowledge God, when we don't follow after him, when we don't do his will, when we don't chase after him and obey his word, what we do is that we open up the doorway for Amalek to fight us. A little story. We are doing some redecoration in our house, and I noticed in our kitchen on the wall. So the wall is painted white, right? But somewhere at the corner, I started noticing some black things, like black spots. So I was like, you know, what's happening? We store some things in that corner of the wall, of the room, of the kitchen. So I was wondering why the black spots there? And as you know, I left it, you know, I thought maybe it's what we're storing there, so I moved it. But it still stayed. And we started wondering, where is this coming from? So what it was, we found out it was is what is called a mold. M-O-U-L-D. A small mold. It's not huge, not massive, just small. And we started to ask questions. But this has been there for a while. Not a while, it started developing very recently. So when the guy that was changing the bathroom, we took out the bath and we put a shower tray. So in the process of him doing that, we found out at the corner of the bathroom upstairs, not downstairs, there was a hole. And apparently what was happening was that the water, when we're taking a shower, the water, so the shower is that way, but the hole is there. So what was happening was that the water would run through the bath underneath and get to the end and then seep down. So we found the hole, we found the problem, and it's corrected, it's been corrected now. What was the cause of the mold? If you try to treat the mold, you can probably paint over it or scrape the paint, replaster it, but that would not stop the problem. Where was the problem coming from? From the bath. The challenge with Amalek coming to attack Israel is what happens to us on a daily basis. There is a leak somewhere in our lives. And once that leak happens, you would not see the mold immediately. It takes time. And if you're like me, you probably see it and think, oh, what's the problem? You try to figure it out. Others will just probably, you know, just keep painting over it without dealing with the root cause. Why is Amalek attacking us and winning us? Winning us in our homes, in our personal lives. The suicide rate is increasing even among believers. Divorce rate is increasing. Absent parents is now a pandemic. We are so busy, we don't have time to find out what's happening. So all we see is the mold. And the question I have for you today is, what is the mold that has started coming up in your life? Mold is caused by fungus. It's caused by fungus. And they thrive where there's areas that are damp. So what is it? You see, the damp was caused by the water seeping in. The water was meant to go to a different place. I'm talking about the wastewater, supposed to go somewhere else. The water that God is bringing into your life, that is meant to cleanse you, the washing of the water by the word, Is it having the right impact? Is it hitting the right surface? Or has it started seeping because you have redirected and rechanneled the water that's meant to come and cleanse you daily, and you've redirected it? And all of a sudden, mold has started coming up in your life. There's an infection in your life. You come to church. You serve in church. But your heart is far away from God. We don't forgive. Even unbelievers forgive easily and better than us. But we are in the church. And we wonder why the mold, the black spots are beginning to come up in our lives, in our marriages, in our conversation on the job, in our purpose, in our businesses, in our calling, our professions. And we wonder why. Bible says, and Amalek came. Why did Amalek come? They came because the people of God, the Israelites, were not thankful to God. They complained. They had started complaining. Was it last 2 weeks ago? People were complaining. My colleagues were complaining. Oh, the weather is hot. I was like, winter comes, you complain. You say you want to escape to the sun. Sun comes, you are complaining. Let's run today. So what happened? Bible said Moses said to Joshua, I'm reading verse 9 of Exodus 17. Choose us out men and go out, fight Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. You have to understand that when you read scriptures, paint a picture in your mind. See pictures, okay? Because these things happened. So Amalek attacked. As Amalek is attacking us, Bible says that, okay, I'll come to that. Okay? So there's war. Remember that this war is not physical for us in this present time. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But I'll come to that. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against human beings. We're wrestling against principalities, powers, wickedness in high places. We're wrestling against unseen forces. So what is God's strategy? Okay? The mold. How do we tackle it? The first thing is that God instructs for a trumpet of war to be blown. Okay? I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8. We're doing a study, 1 Corinthians 14, 8. And we'll also jump to Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 14. For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So the first thing, okay, let's also look at Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 14. So anytime there's war, the first thing that must happen is that you must blow. The Lord commands a trumpet of battle to be blown. Okay? They have blown the trumpet and made everyone ready. But no one goes out to battle, for the wrath is on all their multitude. So the first thing God expects you to do is to blow a trumpet. Why blow the trumpet? The trumpet makes a distinct sound. And I was doing a bit of study. Do you know that there are some sounds that the human ear cannot hear? Do you know that? Do you realize that there are some sounds that the human ear cannot hear? This sound of the trumpet cannot be heard by every human being. You see this trumpet, we're doing a bit of study, so when you get home, study further. The Bible talks in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I think you're reading from verse 18, talking about the coming of the Lord. He's going to come with can you bring it up? He's going to come with the sound of the trumpet. Okay? Can you expand probably six? Go to 16. Go to 15, 16. Let's see. Okay. 16, yeah, let's see. Yes. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Okay? And the dead in Christ will rise first. So this sound of the trumpet is so distinct that the dead will hear it. But not the dead, not just the dead in Christ will hear this sound and will get up. So when the Lord says, blow a trumpet, the question is, can you still hear the trumpet of God even at this time, even this morning? Because what happens is that as you get older, listen, as you get older, your ears struggle to hear some sounds. Do you realize that? There are some sounds you can't hear any longer as you get older. And what is happening is that a lot of us are getting older in the church. We are getting older and we get to a point where we no longer hear the sound of the trumpet of God saying to you, there's a mold growing in your life. The way you get angry is not in my image and my nature, but you no longer hear it. You make decisions without the Lord anymore, and he's trying to call your attention, but you no longer hear because you are getting older. What happens is that you become familiar with church. You become familiar with the things of God, and unconsciously you are getting into the category, the domain of the Pharisees, who had Jesus. They had a sit down, one-to-one sit down, but they didn't realize he was the Son of God. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills its kings and prophets, kills its prophets. Have you known your time of visitation? A lot of us are missing our times of visitation, the times of encounter, the times of healing, because our ears have become dull of hearing. Our ears have become heavy. This morning, I want you to check your ear. Are they still sensitive to that high, unique pitch sound of the trumpet of God? Calling you to repentance. Calling you to adjust your ways. Calling you to let go of the things of this world and lay hold on eternity. I see, when the trumpet is blown, the trumpet communicates. Remember, you have to please keep the context in mind. There is a mold that's been identified by the Lord. He knows the source of what is going wrong in your life. But he can't get across to you and I anymore. We live our life the way we want and we are no longer hearing. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Make ready the men of war. Can we see Joel chapter 3 verse 9. Joel chapter 3 verse 9. The next thing is what the trumpet says to those that can hear it. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. What did Moses say to Joshua? He says, call the men of war. And the only way you can call the men of war is through the trumpet. Remember the parable Jesus told about the coming of his kingdom. He says they're like 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. At the sound of the coming of the bride and bridegroom, everybody got up. But you find out that it says, prepare for war. Okay? So how do you prepare for war? We talk about mental health issues in our generation, in our time. And people can't even distinguish. People can't even make sense of what is happening. You see, to those who are not sensitive, to those who can't hear the sound of the trumpet, everything to them is carnal. Everything to them is about this life. We make decisions based on our senses, 5 senses, human senses. We talk about the economic climate. We talk about the political climate. We talk about health issues. And to the carnal mind, to the natural mind, they just look normal. Have things started becoming normal to you? That means you need to check your ears. And you must understand the reason for the war. The reason for the war, the reason why we are wrestling against these principalities and powers, these unseen forces, they are not physical. They are not in the physical dimension. Why they are happening is to weaken the nations, to weaken the people of God, to distract you. The easiest strategy of warfare is distraction. If I can distract you and get you focusing on the wrong thing, my job is half done. Imagine a doctor who has a case. I remember when my uncle was sick. They took him to the hospital, and the doctor said he had problems with his bones. So they took him to an orthopedic hospital where they deal with bones. For months and months and months, they were trying to deal with the bone. But what they failed to understand that there was a wrong diagnosis. The challenge was that he had cancer. So they were dealing with a different problem while something, the cancer, was killing him. Is it possible that the devil has got you focusing on this life alone while he's destroying your destiny? The devil has got us chasing after what to eat and what to drink, and he's robbing us of our eternity with God. I want you to check your life. What battles are you fighting? You are so offended you can't forgive, and you are dealing with what somebody did, and the devil is happy because you've missed eternity. Scripture says, he that cannot forgive has never known God at any time. You have never met him. So is it possible that you are dealing with that, failing to realize that you have never met Jesus? Is it possible? Is it possible that we are gathering wealth acquiring wealth, like scripture says in the book of Revelation, we think we our self-worth, our measure of ourselves is what we have in our bank account. And we fail to understand that the life of a man does not consist in the abundance of the things he has. The men of war prepare for war. So how do they prepare? How do you prepare for war? The first thing they do, let's see Joshua chapter 7, verse 11. Okay? They were all sleeping, okay? They were all sleeping. But the sound of the trumpet woke them up. So I'm hoping that this will wake you up today. And when you wake up, what do you do next? Okay? Israel have sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of their cursed things and have both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff. Verse 12. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy the accursed things from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed things from among you. Friends, the first thing we must do is put away the accursed things. We must do away with sin. We must sanctify ourselves. What is sin? Can we define sin? Scripture says, anyone who knows to do good and you don't do it, to you it is sin. What is the good you know to do and you've not been doing it? Don't go too far. That is sin. And what God was explaining was that they have, if you understand the concept of money laundering, okay? If you understand the concept of money laundering is a process where criminals clean, when I use the word clean, okay? What criminals do is that they take proceeds from crime and they put it through a legitimate business, and they clean it up. So it looks as if that proceeds came from a legitimate business. So somebody has stolen, cheated, defrauded people. He takes the money, puts it in a business, and then the money comes out as clean money. As Christians, we dabble into things. We dabble into sin. We bring it to prayer. We use prayer and pray over it. Like the armed robber that was praying for one of the elders in my church growing up. They came, they robbed them. After robbing the elder and his family, they asked the elder to, they say, sir, we recognize you. We know you. We've seen you. You're an elder in the church. Can you pray for us? Bless us. So what we do is we do all the sins. We rob God in our tithes and offerings. We rob God in our time and our energy. We give the best of our years to everything that we want, and then we bring the remaining to church and to God, and we say, God, just bless it. So we launder our evil proceeds through the church. We don't live a holy life, but we expect God to bless us. We don't show up when God needs us for battle. But when we need something, we come to him and we say, God, you have to bless me. We have learned the act of money laundering. Laundering sin. So what we do is that we wait and we just think fasting and prayer will just replace not showing up. We bring gifts and offerings to buy the Holy Spirit. Peter said, your money perish with you. We pay for the anointing. We sow seeds. Sow 500 so you get 1 million. Practices of wickedness. We bring it into the church. We just launder it. We just shake it together. Running over. We cheat our spouses and we then go to God. We abuse them, our children. Then we want to go to God and say, God, do that thing that you normally do. We must put away every sin. We must put away the accursed things. Look at what Jesus said. What does sanctification mean? Jesus said in John chapter 17, he said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And Jesus said, for their sake, I sanctify myself. Bring John chapter 7. If Jesus daily, what does sanctification mean? It means dedication to God. It means growing spiritually. That's what sanctification means. Let's just dwell on sanctification. Bring up John 17. 17:17. Okay, we're studying. Don't just want to preach at you. Sanctify them by your truth. So the instrument of sanctification for every soldier has to be the truth. Has to be the truth. Not a lie. The instrument. So you wake up. You hear the sound. He wakes you up. The first thing you do, go to the shower. Go and shower. And don't shower with any other thing. Don't shower with my message. Don't shower with the pastors you've accumulated for yourself. No, shower with the word of God. With the truth. What is the truth concerning this matter? Says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Verse 18. As you have sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. For their sakes. This is Jesus speaking. Don't do what we used to call rub and shine. You know, you just wake up, you use a baby wipe, wipe your face, wipe your armpit, and, you know, just put your mascara. No, don't do that. Shower. Tell your neighbor, shower. Okay? Let the word of God shower bait us. Jesus sanctified himself. Dedication to the truth, to the word. Go into the word. Go into the word. Go into the word. Let the word make your decision. That they may also be sanctified by the truth. Okay, let's look at sanctification. Let's bring up 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 4. We're studying 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For this is the will of God. Because we always pray about the will of God. Who wants to know the will of God? Can I see your hand? Okay. Let me show you the will of God. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. The will of God is not for you to go to Tokyo, Hong Kong. No. Whether to buy Hollandaise or whatever. No, the will of God is our sanctification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess their own vessels in sanctification and honor. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. This is what it means to, you know, when we say growing in the Lord, it's just sanctification, spiritual maturity, the word informing your decision and your choices. the word dictating how you live. Not what is happening on the gram. No, no, no. It is the word dictating for you. And you have to be different. Okay? But of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom and from God. Became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We must be sanctified. Okay? Let's run quickly. I want us to quickly look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter 2, 1, Galatians 5, 19 to 21. 1 Peter. Therefore, laying aside. This is what sanctification is. All malice, all deceit. Can you bring it in a ESV? ESV. Do you have ESV? NLT. Okay, bring NLT. Who has ESV? It says, get rid of all evil behavior. You know, in our day, we don't talk about bad behavior. We are all washed by the blood of Jesus. No, your behavior is bad. It's stinking. Get rid of it. Let's not tolerate it. Open rebuke is better than secret love. This is wrong. It's wrong. You nag up and down. It's wrong. Forget it. You leave your fire. It's wrong. Let's lay it aside. Okay? Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. The way we talk to ourselves. The way we talk. Who has ESV? Let's read ESV. It's a Bible study. Okay? Who has ESV? Can you read for me that scripture? So get rid of. So if you want to shower, if you want to be sanctified as a soldier and fight this battle, you must put away. You must take off those bad behavior. Okay? Okay. So clean house. Make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy, and hateful talk. ESV. Who has ESV? ERV. ERV. Oh, ESV. What does ESV say?
First one, yeah. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander.
Okay. ERV says, so then, stop doing anything to hurt others. Don't lie anymore. And stop trying to fool people. Don't be jealous or say bad things about others. Okay? We must put away. This is what it means. If we are really going to stand in that battle of life, the battle that is raging right now, we must put away these things. Because scripture says, he that warred cannot entangle with himself with the affairs of this life. Okay? Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 21. That ERV or another translation. I like the ESV. Okay? Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envies, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarned you, and even as I did forewarn you, that they which practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you find yourself there? Is there another translation? Can you bring? Okay. It's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, friends and joyless grab of happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotent to love or be loved. You know, some of us don't want to be loved. Oh, Lord. Divided homes and divided lives. Small-minded and lopsided pursuits. If we are going to win this war, we must put away these things. The encouraging thing is that it is the men of war that are being encouraged to put away. Because God knows that you have the capacity. He knows that you have the capacity to be used if you can allow him use you. There's so much in us that God wants to use. We must put on the new man after holiness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. We must put on the new man after holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all conduct. God is calling us to holiness. The battle is raging. Homosexuality, mental sickness, lack of hope. People are hopeless. They don't know what to do. And you want to go and bring hope and fight in this battle. You must be holy. You and I must be holy. Judges chapter 7, verse 3. Judges 7, 3. Let's run quickly. Judges 7, 3. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained. Number three, you must put away fear. If you are fearful, you cannot go into this battle and win. You must remove every fear from your life. Fear of dying. You know, I say to people, you and I will die in Jesus' name, or Jesus will come and take us. If you say, God forbid, that means you are afraid. You better go back because you can't go with us to this battle. We are going to die. If you know you are going to die, listen, if you know you are going to die, how should you live your life? Bible, Jesus said, those that want to save themselves, their lives will lose it. Those that want to lose it, those are the ones that will gain it. If you are going to fight this battle of confronting the devil, of confronting lies, of confronting the devil running havoc in your family. I looked at my lineage. My grandfather on my dad's side, great-grandfather, all of them had the same issue. I said, no, it's this stops in my time. What is it that you want to stop in your lineage, in your time? You can't fight it being fearful. You can't fight it being afraid. So what you do is you blow the bridge because you know that there's no going back. My life is hid in Christ and Christ in God. You can't kill me. Even if you kill my physical body, you can't kill. Bible says, fear him alone that can kill the body and the soul in hell. Why should I be afraid of you? I'm not afraid of nobody. I'm not afraid of nobody. What can man do to me? The worst you can do is say you fire me from a job. So, if you're going to fight this battle, you must be courageous. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Let's look at verse 8. This is important, okay? 1 and 8, I'll show you what you need to do. Deuteronomy chapter 20, let's look at verse 1. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So the cure for fear is knowing that God is with you. God is your leverage. He's with you, except you've left him. He said, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. You must be with God. You must be with God. You must get closer to God. You must draw near to God, because you are going to see people bigger than you. You are going to see jobs that look bigger than you. You are going to see people that look wealthier than you. You are going to see land prosper. God is going to show you things that are bigger than you. But you must remember that your leverage is God. Okay? Verse 8. The officers shall speak further to the people and say, what man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart. You must listen. Don't hang out with people that are fearful. Listen, don't hang with people that are fearful. Because fear is contagious, it's a spirit. This is the instruction of God when you are going to battle. Don't, if anybody's afraid, don't hang with them. You're afraid of life. You're afraid, oh, don't preach the gospel. Oh, they will take this. No, I don't want to hang with you. I hang with people that will spur me on to faith. People that will tell me, like Joshua and Caleb, let's go. They say nobody has ever been to that place. What? Let's go. Let's go and take the land. The Lord can give us that land. Nobody has ever said this in this place. What? I come into work. I kneel down and I just start praying. The whole office will be looking at me. But the wisdom is get to the office before the start time. Don't get there. Work starts at 9 and you go and be kneeling there at 9. No, get there like 8:30. You see the wisdom of God. Before now, you leave here and say, Brazikbe said, let's go. Yoga, Baba Shaka, Yagada. Next thing, they'll just kick you out with your bag. No. Wisdom, okay? Okay? Somebody say wisdom. Yeah. You go to a business meeting. What I do is that as on my way to the meeting, I just start praying in tongues. Makale banata, Lord, favor. Lord, what do they need? What value can I add to them? Or you go into the meeting, maybe you are so busy you forgot to pray. Just maybe they present something to you. Just say, can I use the loo? Just go in there. Ma kala bakada. Don't say it so that people hear. Just keep it there. Ma koko soko yakanda pahan delegede. Lord, left to me, I'll make the wrong decision. I'll make the wrong choices. But your word says that you teach me in the way that I will choose. Lord, what decision should I make? Should I hold? Give me strategy. Should I renegotiate? Don't hang with people that are fearful. Hang with people that will encourage you to go to church, to come for prayer meeting, to preach the word. And go hang out with people that will spur you to righteousness, not evil. Ah, you pay your tithe. Me, I don't pay my tithe. Ah, you bought a car for your wife? Ha, we don't buy, we give them Uber. No, I hang out with people that will challenge. Wow, did you see what I did for my wife? She's been amazing. Wow. Oh, wow. I need to do more. People that will tell me, man, you know, I was sick. I laid hands on myself and God, oh, wow. I can do that. Oh, makaya gada. Let me try it. I went to church. I heard the pastor saying that you lay hands on people, they receive Holy Spirit. I went out, they laid hands on me. I received the Holy Spirit. I said, wow. This thing can work. I got to the house, gathered my siblings. They are like all these children. I just gathered them. This is my own church. I said, today I heard that you can receive the Holy Spirit. As all of you, raise your hands. Makayaga, lay hands. See, listen. Right? Courage. I told us, start small. Okay? Start small. If you want to raise the dead, first start by laying hands on somebody that has malaria or headache. Okay? We have to run. Have to run. Courage. So don't hang out with the fearful, okay? You must know God. Okay? You must know God. You must know God. Number four, value your training. Okay? Value your training. Before these men, as they wake them up, they sanctify themselves. The next thing they do is that they put away idols, put away every sin, everything that does easily beset them. Okay? Put on Christ. The Bible says, put on Christ. Okay? I'll come to the armor of God. All right? But before you can wear the armor of God, you must first wash yourself. And you must remove fear from your heart. That means you must go to the word of God. Arm yourself with the word. What has God said about you? While we were praying on Friday, a question came. What is your ministry? What is your calling? A lot of people don't know what their calling is. A lot of people don't know what the will of God for them is. So you must know that. Then when you know that, you must then value your training. What do I mean? I want us to look at Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. Verse 5, Judges 7, 5. So, listen, please. So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. Can you see a difference? The way you drink water is actually part of your training. Most times we don't know that God is training us. So God sends you a small chihuahua first to check your reaction before he sends the Alsatian. And before he sends the lion and the bear. And before he sends Goliath. Do you see the progression? Talk to me. Do you see the progression? You must value your training. Every difficulty you encounter in life is God training you. The Bible talks about long suffering as being a fruit of the Spirit. Say, those that must follow Jesus, those that must follow after this life will suffer persecution. What is the purpose? The purpose is for the battle. There's a bigger battle in front that you and I are going to fight. Bible talks about fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. But you can't fight this fight if you have not first been trained. So soldiers train. You hear they are being deployed here and there to go and train. So what is this training? The pain you are going through. Some people can't deal with rejection. A lot of people are killing themselves because why? Somebody rejected you. That is why God is training you. So you go, you need to apply for, God knows that you need, you. God is already has a job for you. But he said, no, I want to train you on rejection. So you start applying. You apply to Mr. Gibbs' company. Mr. Gibbs say, you know, he's a brother. So he'll tell you kindly as a brother, sorry, bro. You know, not at this time. God will say, no, this is not the kind of training I want. God will send you to another company. You go, those people don't even talk to you. They don't even reply or respond to you. You go to another, they say, on this occasion, we are sorry. Or some, the feedback is that, why, do you think you are coming for prayer meeting or interview? God is, what is God doing? You come and say, pastor, pray for me. Pastor will pray, pour anointing on you. But you go for the next job, they reject you. It's not as if the prayer didn't work. But in God's scheme, in God's design, he's trying to train you to handle rejection. Value your training. What is your training? What are the losses you are suffering? What is the pain you are going through? You prayed. 25 years, God hasn't answered you. 10 years, God hasn't answered you. 30 years, God has not come through. He's training you. You are hardening as a true soldier. Do you know why? Because in the real battle of life, there's no phone a friend. Bullets are just flying. You can't run away from it. You deal, you stand. You learn to take cover. You learn to survive on rations. That is why God wants you to fast. You survive on rations. In the army, do you know what the other thing they train you? They train you to carry a wounded soldier. To carry your body weight. And travel miles. They drop you in the middle of nowhere and tell you to find your way. God has dropped in many of us in so many places. And he's trying to help you, teach you how to use the compass. In the army, you have to... Thank God my dad is here. He used to be in the army. So anytime I tell you a lie, he'll correct me. So they teach you how to use a compass and a map. And you have to use the map even when it's raining. So God is teaching you to study the word, to use the word to find the next job, to learn how to use the word to solve problems, to teaching you how to use the word to search it, to create new products and find new businesses. God is trying to teach you how to use the word to friend of the devil. God is trying to use the word to teach us how to raise our children and be good husbands and good wives. God is trying to use it to plot our next destination. So is it possible that the things you and I are going through is simply our training so that you learn how to use this compass? How to survive on little food? How to carry out, you know, when they teach you how to suture wounds and how to deal with wound infection. No wonder Paul was praying, said, how many times have I prayed that God will take away this thing? But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. How to handle tragedy. When our baby died, when the hospital, we were crying. But I was even encouraging everyone was crying. But I was the one encouraging them. Why? God is teaching us that in pain, in suffering, nothing will separate us from the love of God. Value your training. What is your training? It could be immigration. You'd be fighting it. God is teaching you to trust him. God is teaching you to do good even when it's like you are stateless. What is your training? You've graduated, you can't get a job. God is training you. Ask your neighbor, what is your training? No, they are sleeping. Ask them, what is your training? You must value your training. These soldiers, their training kick in. Their training kick in. But you know, during the training, during the jogging, sometimes you are tired. And you ask God for water. God will tell you 5 more miles. He knows that a day will come when your training will kick in. You get into the job. You wonder why so many people hate you. Don't you know that blessing comes with envy? When you are blessed, people envy you. People start covering. You dig a well, people cover it. You dig a well, they cover it. You dig a well, God is training you to become an expert well digger. Why? Because, listen. The story, I'm trying to remember the story of the man who had a salt factory. The factory got burnt or something. They came and met the man sitting and just smiling. They asked him, are you crazy? What? He said, no. The fire burnt the company It didn't burn the idea. I know the process of how to recreate it. Sometimes all you are going through, God is, you don't know the capacity you carry. Wait until they kick you out of your house. All of a sudden, your training will kick in. Your relational skill, which is why God told us relational dysfunction, we should avoid it. Value your training. What is God training you in? Time will fail me. Time will fail me. Time will fail me. Discipline. As a soldier, we must be disciplined. If we're not disciplined, we can't be true soldiers. Time will fail me to talk about endurance. And then putting on the whole armor of God and fighting. You say, arm yourself. Can I just touch on that? Can I just touch on that? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Peter 4, 1. Please. Sister. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. Arm yourselves also with the same mind. Somebody say, arm yourself. You see, when I tried to join the army, right? One thing I found out is that everybody have an area of specialty. You have a weapon that just comes to you, that you love. There's a weapon that is just unique to you. Some could be snipers. Some are snipers. Snipers are long range. They can take out targets from long range. They can hit a target from long range. What does the Bible say about long range shooting? A wise man foresees trouble and hides himself. You learn, they train you on how to use different weapons. The weapon of worship. God told us this year, thanksgiving. In every situation, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything that happened, one of the weapons you use to fight the devil is thanksgiving. You are confused. You don't know what to do. Thank him for where you are. Thank him for the journey of getting to where you are. Give him praise. Lift up the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and give him praise. That's a weapon. Powerful weapon that can raise the dead. Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus. He said, Father, I thank you. Makaya gada bagada. What is your weapon? The weapon of prayer. We will give ourselves tenaciously to prayer. Pray until the will of God is revealed, is made clear. The weapon of doing good. Bible says how Jesus was and of Christ was Nazareth was anointed with Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good. The weapon of holiness. The prince of this world comes and he finds nothing in me. What is your weapon? Your weapon, is it gossip? Is your weapon complaining? Is your weapon being absent? Time will fail me. Let us pray. Let us pray. I can't finish it all today. But thank God for how far he's brought us. I just want you to. At the end, the children of Israel found Jehovah Nissi. The covenant. God revealed himself in a new dimension. I don't know what you've heard today. Maybe God is saying, I'm calling you at a high frequency. I'm calling you to come up yonder. I'm calling you to come up from the place of playing with dogs. So I'm calling you to come out from among them and be different and be separate. Maybe you're getting old. You no longer hear the trumpet, the voice of God calling. You are used to the earthquake and the fire. But God is calling in a small, still voice. Maybe you no longer hear that anymore. Or maybe you're now at the place where you compromise and you negotiate with the devil. And you take the gold from the temple and go and bargain with the devil so that he will leave you for a season. What is it that God has spoken to you today? I want you to respond to it. Can you respond to God? Can you just respond to him? Can you just respond to him? What did you hear? Or maybe you didn't hear anything. Then ask him to heal your ears. Wake up the mighty men. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Is your weapon carnal? Is your weapon carnal? Arm yourself, the mighty true God, to pull down strongholds. Cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Where are you? Where is the water leaking in your life and causing the mold to appear? Just respond to God, respond to him.